Yes, welcome on into First Pitch for Thursday, August 1st, 2024. I'm Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for Athlon Sports, joined by Christian Rau, managing editor of InsideTheCardinals.com. And a look at what happened in MLB yesterday, because we have actual games to talk about. We're past the trade deadline. We're past the MLB draft signing dates. This is now all ball from now through the end of the year. And I want to start in Baltimore, Christian, because they made some trades. They trade away some guys. You see Connor Norby go to Miami, things like that. It's fine because they call up the number one prospect in baseball in Jackson Holliday. He hits his first career home run as the Orioles dominate the Blue Jays. And not just a home run. He hits a grand slam that clears right field and lands on Utah Street. Couple different milestones with this, right? Youngest player in franchise history to hit a grand slam. He's still only 20 years old. It's only the second time a player's first career homer has landed on Utah Street. A lot of the current Orioles can't say they've ever done that. And he's only the third player in franchise history to have their first homer be a grand slam. So looking at the additions they made at the deadline, adding Zach Eflin, adding, you know, all the different adds that they made, can they hold off the Yankees? They have a half game lead right now. Can they hold off the Yankees to win the AL East? And if they do, do they have the pieces to make a deep postseason run?
I think they added the right pieces in the wild card, or I'm sorry, in the trade deadline to do that. And I do think that regardless, both those teams are going to be in the wild card. That's where my head was at. But wow, when you look at Jackson Holliday, what he did, first and foremost, I can't wait to get back to Camden Yards so I can go see that marker. Because that's like one of the coolest things in Camden. If you've never been to the stadium, you're just walking around and seeing all the different markers of seeing Chris Davis home runs and Ripken home runs and Adam Jones and Chatos. That Jackson Holliday one, they might have to put up like a Hollywood sign around it, because it's going to be so overused and so many pictures
on the street. Taken. Like that's what they do. They put it on the street where it landed. Okay, that's a cool little really feature. Cool. You can't, really cool. The Giants can't do that because it's water, but I like that you can do that in Baltimore. Nice.
Yeah, I love that. That's like one of the coolest things about Utah Street. But yeah, can you believe it? I mean, we have a first overall pick, and we're going to talk about another first overall pick later on in the show, but a first overall pick gets a grand slam with his first major league home run. You got to love it. But looking at this Yankees and Orioles team, Lindsey, I'm going to say that the Orioles have what it takes to hold off the Yankees. However, the Yankees are surging right now too. So as you mentioned at the beginning of this show, we are all baseball in August. This month is going to be absolutely bananas, and I am looking forward to it. But I'm going to say right now, going with my gut, on August 1st, the Orioles can hold off the New York Yankees. They have what it takes.
It feels like, okay, I agree with you there. It feels like when you look at the components that you need to win in the postseason, you've got what it takes, right? Three hot starters. You've got Corbin Burnes. You've got Grayson Rodriguez. You've got Zach Eflin. That's your 1, 2, and 3 in the postseason. You've got some good relievers in your Cano. Craig Kimbrell can be that guy. We'll see if he is. But you've got Albert Suarez. You just got Sir Anthony Dominguez from the Phillies. Like, you've got relievers. And then offensively, you still have Adley Rutschman. You still have Gunnar Henderson. You've added Jackson Holliday. Your outfield is still four dudes who are pretty much everyday players. Colton Cowser, Heston Kerstedt, Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins. Like, you've got the pieces. It feels like this is going to be something where if you have an injury, you got to hope a young player can come up and absolutely rake. So the margin for error may be a little bit slimmer, but that's everybody really in October. I think that this team could catch fire and make a run. Maybe it's necessarily going to bet on them to do it, but I think they could. And I think that's kind of that was the goal for Baltimore, was get into the postseason, be able to make a run. I think they have the pieces to do it.
And you speak of injuries. Jordan Westberg just went down with an injury 2 days after the trade deadline, when they just got rid of one of their nice infielder prospects. Now, granted, you just mentioned they brought up Jackson Holliday. They have some other pieces they can bring up, some veteran pieces that are sitting in the minor leagues as well. So they have... they have options, not saying that they are stuck and, oh no, the deadline has passed. They are one of those teams that have that positional depth, especially in the infield. I mean, we've been talking about it for I feel like it's been years now, Lindsay, that there is so much traffic in the infield. What is Mike Elias finally going to do? He moves one and now he's got some injury issues. But I think they'll be fine. But that's something to keep in mind. August is going to be long. The dog days of summer are still here. We're in the thick of it.
It's still a grind to get there. Again, half a game up on the Yankees. We'll see what happens. Moving over to the Central, the Cardinals, you look what they did, last night, 10 runs on 14 hits. Arenado has two hits. Paul Goldschmidt has two hits. Tommy Pham has three hits. It's the debut of Michael McGreevy. I guess here's my question. For the St. Louis Cardinals, who have struggled offensively this year and who in the last couple seasons have struggled from a pitching perspective ever since the shift got banned, do they have enough pitching and offense to make it to the postseason? And if they do, can they make actual noise there? Or is this like a get in, eliminated in the wild card round?
Yeah, really good point. Really good question. If it's any indication of what the last 2 days have been like, I think we've seen a completely different ball club. It's post trade deadline, honestly, post Mother's Day. The Cardinals have been one of the best teams in baseball, but post-trade deadline, this offense has been completely different. As you mentioned, 10 runs on the game last night. And in the second game of the series against the Rangers, they scored 8. So they have 18 runs in the last 2 days, and they have 23 hits across those days as well. Bringing in Tommy Pham has seemed to just resurge this offense. It must be just a clubhouse presence, and he's absolutely raking at the bat. He's 4-for-5 so far at the plate, one of them including a pinch hit grand slam, might I add, to start off his career back with the Cardinals. And then when it comes to the pitching, yes, Lance Lynn is injured right now. They just got a knee injury. But if it's any indication of what yesterday looked like, MLB debut for former first rounder Michael McGreevy, who looked absolutely incredible, 7 innings in his MLB debut. He did fantastic. Yes, he had some runs to play with, so that's probably why he stayed in a little bit longer, but he only allowed 1 run in 7 innings. So when you look at the pitching, I think, and you look at this final question you said, is there enough pitching and offense to actually make noise in offense? I think we need to be a little skeptical. I think we can't answer that question fully until we know what we get from Eric Fetty, the new addition from the Chicago White Sox. We are supposed to see him on the road trip this weekend against the Cubs, but I'm pretty sure they're going to hold off until right after the Cubs series. I think we're going to see him on Monday, maybe Tuesday. But going with my gut, I think, and we were talking about it right before we went on the air, looking at the different standings, which we're going to talk about the NL standings here in just a minute. So another segue on a segue here, Lindsay. I think the only way that the Cardinals make the playoffs this year is if they chase the Milwaukee Brewers and win the NL Central, something that I thought about in the preseason. The only one team in the NL Central is going to make the playoffs. Seems like that's going to be the case again. They started off 9 games down heading into the All-Star break. They're only 5 now with this recent surge.
Yeah. To your point of Mother's Day, pull the numbers real quick. Since Mother's Day, if my math is right, which is iffy in the morning, they are 40-28. So that is more of traditional Cardinals baseball that we expect from this team, being well above 500, being contenders. And like you said, they reduced that lead from a 9-game lead the day before Mother's Day all the way down where it currently is to only 5. And that is, shout out to the Atlanta Braves taking 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee and kind of helping with that a little bit.
That's true.
But yeah, the wild card race is a bit crowded. We didn't plan these segues, people, I promise. But that takes us into the next segment, which is the National League West and the Arizona Diamondbacks, right? MLB best 17-8 in July. They swept the Washington Nationals. And so a couple things here. The pitching's been really iffy, right? Jordan Montgomery has not looked good. Eduardo Rodriguez has not pitched this year. Merrill Kelly was on the 60-day IL. It was Zach Gallen, Brandon Pfaadt, and you hope for rain, right? But now you look at where things are. The Padres and Diamondbacks are both within 5 games of the Dodgers in the West, and the Padres and Diamondbacks are 2-3 in the wild card race. So they both have wild card spots as of now. I think the big question for me with the Diamondbacks, we feel like the offense is going to be fine. Do they have the pitching to stay in the wild card race until the end of the season.
They have the potential to have what not many teams, if any team in contention right now in the National League, have moving forward. And that's really like a second deadline coming, second trade deadline, with the additions of Rodriguez and Merrill Kelly coming back within the next couple weeks. So if they continue to look good, there's a couple of rehab things that are showing good positive indications, especially from Kelly. If everything looks out right, then you're going to get two of the best starters back in baseball. So, and you're right in the thick of it. And again, and you just had a great July without them. I think my issue is more not towards the pitching, because I feel like they're going to be just fine when you bring those two back. If everything works out, great. Mm-hmm. But what I'm worried about, Lindsay, is how serious is that injury to Christian Walker going to be? How long is that going to keep him out? How long is that going to keep him not 100%? Yes, they bring in Josh Bell. That's a good little cheap addition, a nice little Band-Aid, if you will. But Christian Walker has really been the glue to that offense for the foreseeable season. It's really been that case. And if they don't have him when it comes down to the stretch of it, trying to get into the playoffs, I don't like their chances. Not the way that the NL wildcard race is still log jammed. Not the way.
Oblique injuries are always tricky, especially for a hitter, especially for a big guy like him. I think about Sean Murphy for the Braves, had the oblique injury, missed 2 months.
He was out, right?
Yeah. He was out like 100 days. He's a dude who just swings all out every single swing. So definitely a concern. And it feels like this is a pretty good roster from an offensive perspective, as far as at just about every single position, you feel good that the guy could get on a hot streak and could give you plenty of great production and runs for a 3-week stretch. I think the question is going to be, like you said, without Christian Walker, who steps up to kind of power that offense, provide the power that he did? Can Josh Bell get back to better form than he showed in Miami this year? And then I'm assuming the defense doesn't take a hit too much. Christian Walker's a Gold Glove caliber first baseman. Josh Bell is not, but you have to hope that it's first base. You have to hope that the defense doesn't drop enough to actually cost them games. But like, you go across the diamond. I mean, Eugenio Suarez at third, he can hit 30 home runs if he's hot. Prado Perdomo is not bad at shortstop. I think he's better offensively than some shortstops you see. Your outfield, you've got Corbin Carroll, Lourdes Gurriel, Alec Thomas, Jake McCarthy. You've got Jock Peterson and Randall Grichuk for DH. Like, you've got guys just about everywhere. You even like Gabriel Moreno, not from a power perspective, but from a contact and on base and batting ability perspective. And so it's just, to me, it's the pieces are there. Do they step up and get hot? You fortified the bullpen. You brought in Dylan Floro. You brought in AJ Puck to go with Kevin Ginkle, Joe Mantiply, Paul Sewald. Justin Martinez has looked great this year. I like the Diamondbacks as they're constructed. I don't necessarily know. We'll talk more about the West race for the division later. Don't quite know if you have a chance to win the division, but I do think this is a roster. Honestly, I think it's probably a little bit better roster than you had in the World Series year last year. Like, I think the rotation has the potential to be better if everybody's healthy. If you can throw Gallen, Kelly, Montgomery, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Brandon Pfaadt as your 1-5, I like that rotation in the postseason, because you don't, if everybody's on, which has been a question for Jordan Montgomery, started off late. If everybody's on, that feels like that's a quality 1-5. And there's not many teams, when they get to the postseason, can say that. So I like the Diamondbacks as constructed. Question is going to be, who gets hot? Can the pitching improve with these guys coming back? And as Jordan Montgomery gets farther away from his disastrous start to the year.
Yeah, there's plenty of time for pitching, especially Jordan Montgomery, to get right. This month will be a big indicator of that, but he hasn't been great. He's probably been the biggest letdown of all major free agent guys we were talking about this past offseason. I will say one more thing before we move on about Josh Bell. Last year, this is the third straight season he's been traded at the trade deadline. Last year, he woke up. He had some pretty good numbers in the second half, helping Miami get to the wild card race. Yeah, by the way, Miami was in the playoffs last year. I don't know if you guys remember that, but yeah. So Josh Bell helped that wild. He was a big asset. He could be another big asset while he's holding off the first base or DH or whatever he's doing for the Diamondbacks while Walker's out.
Wild. I do think it's worth pointing out, when you look at that division, the leader in runs scored, Arizona Diamondbacks, 558 runs. They've outscored the Dodgers by 24 runs. They've outscored the Padres by 47 runs. The offense is there. They're also the only one of the three teams at the top to allow over 500 runs. So that's the run differential issues. That's where the rotation comes in. Okay, quick pitch. Do some rapid fires here for you. San Francisco Giants pitcher Logan Webb, second career complete game shutout versus the A's. Giants win 1-0. We saw weird trade deadline for them, right? They sold, they bought at the same time. Was Logan Webb beating the A's? Was this just beating a bad team? Or do the Giants legitimately have a chance to make the playoffs? They sit 9.5 games back in the NL West. They're 4.5 games back of the wild card. Do they have a chance? Or is this just they played a bad team?
They don't have a chance. And I don't think it's because of the Giants moving forward. I think it's just because of who's in front of them. There are too many teams in front of them. And I think 9 games is just too much right now. I don't think they have a chance. Now, we could be talking 2019 Washington Nationals. They could find a way in, but I don't think that this team is built for that. And as you mentioned, the trade deadline, I think they also knew that was the case. They did. They sold, they kind of bought, but they also held too. They didn't trade Matt Chapman. They didn't trade Blake Snell. And I want to give Logan Webb a little more credit here, because yes, the A's have not been great this season, but that offense has not been terrible as of late, with Brent Rooker, Lawrence Butler doing their things. Logan Webb has been an innings eater for the past season. He's already over 140 innings on the season. So I'm going to give him his flowers here. He held the Oakland A's to a 1-0 victory to get a complete game shutout. I think that's well deserved.
Yeah. Quick note on their postseason chances. There are three teams ahead of them who are also out of the wild card. They're behind the Mets, they're behind the Cardinals, they're behind the Pirates. Feels like you got to jump a lot of teams to make this happen. They're going to need a lot of help. I don't think it's going to happen. A team we do think is going to make the postseason, they would be the number 2 wild card if the season were to end today, the San Diego Padres. We saw them buy a bunch of relievers at the deadline, paid a gosh darn price for it too. They're going to get Fernando Tatis back sometime in September. They swept the Dodgers without him. Do they have a chance to chase down the Dodgers for the West? Or are they just looking to take the second wild card behind Atlanta?
I think that they have an opportunity to do it. I think we just saw that happen with, now we don't, the Dodgers, I think, are they're still without Freddie Freeman, I'm pretty sure, right? Mm-hmm. He's not there. So Dodgers were not at full strength as well. Dodgers had a hell of a trade deadline. They went and got Jack Flaherty. They went and got some shortstop help. That's on the way. But the Padres, we're going to see them with a solid bullpen. The Padres and the Diamondbacks got one of the best bullpens additions this deadline. I forgot all about the Diamondbacks when you brought it up in the last segment. But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I know we're in quick pitch. So we probably should start talking a little faster. I'm going to go on a limb here and say that the Padres can chase the Dodgers. It'll be a lot closer once we get to 162. I think we're going to be talking like within 3 or 4 games once it's over. And that's pretty good compared to what it's been in the last couple seasons. But I think the Padres are still going to wind up being one of the wild cards.
Padres 9-1 in the last 10. I'm going to go on a limb and say if Manny Machado can get hot, and I mean hot, he's got to bat 300 down the stretch. But if he can do it, I think they could potentially catch the Dodgers. I'll go on a limb and say that. Travis Bezanna, #1 overall pick for the Cleveland Guardians, hit his first home run in professional baseball last night. Guess what? It was a grand slam. How quickly do we think he makes it to the majors? #1. #2, what's the most impressive debut you think you've ever seen from a professional from a professional baseball player? Because I think that's probably it for me.
Yeah, that might be. And I think that adding to the impressive stat, we had 2 first overall round picks in drafts hit grand slams on the same day. One in professional baseball, one in his first pro ball home run as well. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wonder if you go ahead and wait for on socials and go find Sarah Lang or something. I'm sure she's got some kind of cool stat for that, because I'm sure that hasn't happened maybe ever. How fast do I think he's going to get up? I mean, Cleveland's got a pretty nice system right now, what they're doing. And they had a nice trade deadline as well. I don't know what the contract situations look like for Cleveland off the top of my head moving into 2025, But I would not be shocked if he continues his production, because he had such a great collegiate career that we possibly could see him at the earliest, I'd say this time next year.
I think if you have some sort of injury at the major league level, he's probably one of the guys you look at late next year. I think the Guardians have never really necessarily had great middle infield offensive production ever since Francisco Lindor left. And so I think if he can rake and he can play above average defense, they'll fast track him to the bigs. But I do think I'm kind of with you there. As soon as you might see him is down the stretch next year. Okay. Rafi Devers walks it off for the Red Sox in extras against the Mariners. So here's my thing here. Could three AL East teams make the postseason? You look at the wild card right now. We already talked about, yes, it's the Yankees and the Orioles within half a game of each other. Boston is the first team out of the wild card. They're only two games back. They're chasing down Minnesota and Kansas City. Could we see three AL East teams in the postseason?
At the beginning of the season, if you would have gave me my predictions of who I thought was going to make the postseason, by no stretch of the imagination would I have more than one, and that be the division winner from the AL Central making it. We have a potential of three AL Central teams making it in this playoffs. Now, the caveat to what you just said, in order for the Red Sox to get in, they're going to have to beat one of those AL Central teams. Right now, it's either the Minnesota Twins or the Kansas City Royals that don't have the division lead. And I think that's going to be a tough stretch. I think that the Royals, what they added, and the surgence, hey, I finally get to say it, the surgence of how amazing Bobby Witt Jr. is, how amazing he is.
We could do a whole show on that, dude.
We're going to talk way more about that kid on this show. I think that they're going to be just fine. The Yankees are surging. It's going to be Yankees or Baltimore holding that first wild card slot. I think Kansas City holds the second one. I think they're going to have to get by the Twins or the Guardians, whatever one falls in that case. And I think that's possible. But I think that's where we're at moving into August. That, you know, it's not as exciting. It's not as exciting as the National League wild card. But there's still Seattle. There's still other teams. But if I had to answer your question right now, I'm going to say that they just miss it. They just miss it.
Yeah. See, I think I'm going to flip around and I'm going to say the Red Sox take the Twins. They get the final wild card spot as of now. Because we saw early in the year, that pitching staff was really good. They struggled a little bit over the summer. They were really good early in the year. And the Twins didn't do enough at the deadline. I believe they went out and they got one reliever and that's it. They're dealing with injuries. Carlos Correa is out. Royce Lewis, I think, just came back. I think he's probably about to get hurt again because it's a day that ends in Y. Byron Buxton has been not the Byron Buxton of old, as he's been trying to play back after injury and things like that. If those three guys can be healthy and hot, I think Minnesota can hold a wild card spot. But if those three guys aren't on the field and raking almost every day, I feel like Boston's going to catch them. So
yeah, and you're right. And they Boston did have a sneaky good trade deadline, and we just saw one of their pieces, Landon Sims, come out last night and have a great first appearance for the Red Sox. By the way, threw zero fastballs. So Andrew Bailey is already working with Landon Sims. So no, I agree. You know what? Watch out for Boston.
Andrew Bailey in his bag. So okay, a couple interesting streaks here. I'm going to give you three streaks. Tell me which one you think actually matters in the long run, okay? Chicago White Sox, 17-game losing streak right now. We know they're bad. I just don't quite think we realized how bad they are. 17-game losing streak. Yankees, 5 straight games that they have won. So 5-game winning streak. Phillies, 4-game losing streak. First time they were swept all season. Which one of these three matters the most at the end? Which one of these is the most important of the three?
Well, for hysterical purposes, it might be the White Sox because they might have the MLB record for most losses in the season once we're all done with it. But I'm going to have to go with the Yankees here. And the reason behind that is the Phils still have a decent lead in front of Atlanta. The Yankees, as we mentioned at the beginning of this show, are slowly catching the Baltimore Orioles in that 5-game winning streak. The pieces that they added, some Yankee fans are upset that they didn't add rotational help, but they added Jazz Chisholm Jr., who is looking like a perennial all-star.
Look like the second coming of Mickey Mantle out there. I swear.
Yeah, he's doing everything that you expect somebody to be on the cover of a video game to do.
With greatest number 13 in the middle, like in the infield for the Yankees, and it was a trade acquisition of all time. Obviously,
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Goes from number two to number 13. And I love that trade acquisition part. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Yankees here. I feel like you have to. Now, the feels is concerning, but the Yankees seem way more important down the stretch, especially in August.
Yeah, the Phillies have the pieces. I feel like it's a slump, especially it's a team we just talked about who's got Judge, who's got Soto, who's got, you know, just out of Jazz, lots of pieces. So I do think it's probably the Yankees here. But for hilarity, Chicago White Sox have a run differential of -229. They're the only team, correction, second only team, who has scored under 400 runs this year. They have 341. The next lowest team is at 392. So,
and they're on
wild.
Pace to lose 122 games,
the which record is 120. Yeah, which, you know, breaking, that is a lot. So yeah,
that's a lot.
Before we go, really cool moment from yesterday. George Kirby of the Seattle Mariners is known for being just a kind of a pitching savant, can pick up grips, can pick up new pitches, really understands and appreciates the history of the game. And first pitch yesterday against the Red Sox, in Fenway Park, what does he throw? A knuckleball in honor of Tim Wakefield, who passed away over the summer from cancer. Really cool moment. Thought that was awesome. I'm Lindsey Crosby. He's Christian Rowell. Do us a favor. If you are watching the show on YouTube, like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you're on audio, give us a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice. Really does help folks find the show. You can follow both of us on social media. I'm at Crosby Baseball. He's at Christian S. Rowell, R-A-U-H. Again, all of our coverage is on the Athlon Sports MLB channels. A lot of my stuff is Braves. A lot of his stuff is Cardinals, insidethecardinals.com. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.